welcome to the Global Venturing Review podcast. My name's James Mawson, founder and editor-in-chief of our Global Corporate Venturing, Global University Venturing and Global Impact Venturing publications. Great pleasure to be here just before the start of our GCV Digital Forum. It's going to be on the 3rd and 4th of June, and yeah, we're quite excited to run a virtual conference rather than the live London symposium that we were planning for those dates. That's been pushed back to 7th and 8th of December. For obvious reasons, given the coronavirus. But we're excited to have 500 or so corporate venturing units from the who's who of the industry really join us this week for what will prove to be quite an exciting sort of time. But there's no reason not to concentrate on news from the past week. Thierry Hellis is busy finishing off a feature on CertSquared, actually, which is a super exciting accelerator and portfolio sort of development for universities in the southwest of the UK for five of those. And they are one of the sponsors for the Digital Forum. So we're quite interested to explore a little bit more what they've been up to as the world's number one accelerator over the past few years. So, so that will be a good one. On to the news then. Just a couple of sort of deals and opportunities that have caught the eye. And starting with Switzerland-based bank UBS Group, which is setting aside hundreds of millions of dollars of its money to invest in financial technology companies, according to Bloomberg. UBS hired Erasmus Elsner for its venture capital and growth equity unit last month, but is reportedly still recruiting staff for a dedicated corporate venture capital team. It is planning a CVC fund to make investments of between $10 and $20 million, dozens of companies targeting bank client engagement, investing and financing platforms, and improvement of the bank's underlying operations, the source told Bloomberg. Mike Dargan, UBS's global head of group technology, said, quote, UBS wants to further engage with and support fintech firms. The new venture investment portfolio is the next step to accelerate our innovation and digitalization efforts, end quote, to Bloomberg. UBS's main local rival, Credit Suisse Group, has been investing in fintech for the past decade through its entrepreneur capital unit. And many of the leading banks and insurers such as AXA and HSBC are now engaged in corporate venture. A few have gone as far as understanding how to integrate the innovation towards a holistic understanding of the entire model of Silicon Valley Bank, which is co-chairing the FinTech CVC Roundtable at the GCV Digital Forum, with Advanta covering more from the InsurTech side as co-chair. As intangibles and the ability to raise capital start to increasingly affect credit risk, the use of corporate venturing becomes more important than just supporting a new tech capability. Integrating knowledge of disruption and innovation into a sophisticated understanding how capital markets and repayment rates will vary is going to decide who becomes the world's most important financiers of the 21st century. In this case, UBS sadly is two decades late to the game, it seems. Onwards, it is a scary enough headline. Huawei banned. So let's invade Taiwan to take TSMC? In reaction to a strict set of rules announced by the US government on May 15th in a bid to cut the China-based 5G and telecoms equipment maker off from the global semiconductor ecosystem. In its subsequent report, US Strategic Approach to the People's Republic of China, published on the 20th, the US said, quote, the administration is implementing the Foreign Investment Risk Review Modernization Act to update and strengthen the capacity of the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, or CFIUS, to address growing national security concerns over foreign exploitations of investment structures which previously fell outside CFIUS jurisdiction. This includes preventing Chinese companies from exploiting access to US innovation through minority investments in order to modernize the Chinese military. The US has updated its export control regulations, particularly in light of Beijing's whole of society strategy and its efforts to acquire advanced technologies related to hypersonics, quantum computing, artificial intelligence, biotechnology, and other emerging and foundational technologies. We are also engaging allies and partners to develop their own foreign investment screening mechanisms and to update and implement export controls collaboratively through multilateral regimes and other forums. Domestically, the administration is taking steps to strengthen the US economy and promote economic sectors of the future, such as 5G technology, through tax reforms and a robust deregulatory agenda. End quote. But the horse might have bolted. The China Talk article at the top, which provided that shocking headline, suggests Huawei has done enough over the past few years to survive, stating, quote, the main issue is supporting Huawei and maintaining its dominant position and 5G and helping it continue to be able to supply the needs of 5G bases, in addition to stockpiling goods and accelerating the localization of the semiconductor manufacturing process. This requires a national counterattack. Although it is difficult to force the United States to lift a Huawei ban, China has two paths open to it. China can make American companies feel the pain, and more importantly, China can adopt measures to hinder the development of 5G technology in the United States. Any companies that can help America achieve its goals in terms of 5G development should be the targets of this counterattack. For the first line of attack, Boeing is a good target. For the second line of attack, Qualcomm is a good target. Apple also fits the first target, but Apple's supply chain is deeply tied up with China, so targeting Apple would also harm China. End quote. With Tencent and Alibaba announcing hundreds of billions of yuan or renminbi in deep tech investments, and were both able to access deep capital markets, the localization and globalization strategy has reached critical mass. Past decade's strategic investment boom has opened the door to innovation wide enough. The tech lash on strategic pinch points in core sectors. A third of corporate venture is in deep tech areas, according to GCB Analytics. In Israel, Taiwan, and other geographical tech hubs will also begin. Next week's Deep Tech Roundtable, as part of the Digital Forum, will discuss this further. And we've already seen concern about the People's Republic of China's approach to Hong Kong, potentially triggering off further concerns. So this might well affect a number of corporate venturing units as we drill down into the implications of a geopolitical challenge between the US and China. So the third of the big stories, the US healthcare system has many virtues, but is simply too expensive and hard for consumers to access care, according to insiders. Coastal Americans' faith in the system has been shaken by the coronavirus, and this has created opportunities for some. Jeff Bennett, CEO of startup Hitchy, is trying to tackle the issue and has received a fillip with a new round of funding. UK-based personal healthcare provider Babylon has joined the ranks of new corporate venture units by leading the latest round for the US-based healthcare engagement technology developer Hitchy. The round was reportedly $30 million in size, and Hitchy's previous investors, 7Wire, Flare Capital, Jumpstart, Rush University Medical Center for Health, and William Wrigley Jr. also took part. Hitchy had raised $25.8 million in 2018, according to regulatory filing, from investors including Blue Cross Blue Shield affiliated venture firm Sandbox Industry, although Sandbox has said it is now no longer an investor. Hitchy operates more than 10,000 self-service smart health stations within 5 miles of 73% of the US population. And after the latest round, we'll offer a bundled care solution that combines Babylon's symptom check-in and remote digital health tools. A Babylon spokesman said, quote, "This is our first official US investment, hopefully more strategic investments and partnerships to help extend our reach in the states to follow," end quote. Babylon officially launched in the US at the start of the year. Ali Parser, Babylon's founder and CEO, said, quote, "Whether it be for chronic conditions, which already place a heavy burden on patients, and the healthcare system, to the everyday support of a person's health and well-being, Babylon and Hitchy's offerings place greater emphasis on prevention and tackling issues earlier, helping millions of people proactively tend to their health and connect them to the information and medical support they need," end quote. Personalised support is currently in the forefront for many of the leaders, as the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson said when he asked how to avoid COVID-19 after being hospitalised for the disease, quote, "Don't be a fatty in your 50s, end quote. And funding is flowing. Digital health companies raked in over $400 million in the prior week, according to Rock Health Analysis, with the vast majority going towards companies facilitating virtual care. Quote, "Money is flowing in pursuit towards a telemedicine forward future. Telemedicine is here to stay, and some believe its future will be more proactive, personalised, and data-driven," end quote. Similarly, money is flowing to other parts of the healthcare and life sciences. The power of science fiction films retains its hold on inspiring inventors, but the secret to corporate venturing and open innovation lies in retaining optionality. And so, drawing on inspiration from the film series Star Trek, Vaxis, a Queensland University Australia spin-out, has developed a technology which could mean vaccine delivery via needles and syringes could be soon a thing of the past. The World Economic Forum named the company a technology pioneer in late 2014, and over the past decade, the company has been working on a nanopatch based on research at the university's Australian Institute for Bioengineering and Nanotechnology. delivers vaccines painlessly and more efficiently than syringes. Now, pharmaceuticals company Merck, known as MSD outside the US and Canada, has exercised its option to use Vaxis's high-density microarray patch platform for a vaccine candidate. But Merck also retains an option to license the technology for two additional vaccines. David Hoey, CEO of Vaxis, said, quote, "With its strong legacy of vaccine development, Merck is a tremendous partner in our efforts to enhance the efficiency, effectiveness, and reach of vaccination," end quote. Under the collaboration agreement originally signed in 2012, through the exercise of this option, Merck gains exclusive worldwide rights to develop and commercialize an undisclosed vaccine utilizing Vaxis's technology. Vaxis will receive $12 million in a combination of equity funding and option fees associated with the agreement. In addition, it can receive future payments. Spun out by UniQuest, the University of Queensland's technology transfer, Vaxis's technology has thousands of tiny projections which inject the vaccine directly into immune cells in the skin, a needle which delivers the vaccine into muscle where fewer immune cells are located. So, difference in terms of effectiveness, it seems, and also probably a bit less painful. And also, by using proprietary dry coating technology, the need for vaccine refrigeration during storage and transportation can also potentially be eliminated. But for Merck, trying to leverage its strengths in vaccines given a heightened interest in pathogens through the coronavirus, the optionality of open innovation has already borne fruit. And as an FYI, Merck's David Stevenson will be chairing a private roundtable at the GCB Digital Forum. And Bill Taranto, head of Merck Global Health Innovation Fund, will be talking in a live Q&A session, so do drop in and join that. And finally, of the big stories of the past week, Cisco has set aside $1 billion for a Thousand Eyes acquisition. Cisco intends to purchase the network's analytics software producer, which had raised more than $110 million from investors including GV, formerly known as Google Ventures, part of the Alphabet's corporate venturing group, and Salesforce Ventures for the large figure. Founded in 2010, Thousand Eyes provides cloud analytics software that collects data from a range of access points such as data centers, consumer devices to identify potential sources of disruption and ensure websites, applications, services are delivered optimally. And Cisco will integrate the company's technology into its newly formed network and services division and expects to combine capabilities to help clients accelerate their digital transformation. Great, so those are the highlights from the past week. So on to the news in briefs. On people, we've seen Vision Fund prepared for job cuts. It's reportedly reducing its 500-strong team by about 10% in the wake of some $18 billion in losses over the past year. Crikey. And Jim Iorta has moved up to CEO at Yamaha Motor Ventures and Laboratory Silicon Valley, replacing George Kellerman, who has moved to Toyota to rejoin his former colleague, Hiro Soju. And Shinji Asada has left Salesforce Ventures. After 5 years at Salesforce, the former head of its Japan corporate venture unit has departed to become a co-founder of a new venture capital firm. Do check out the website for more details on that. Deals. It's been another crackingly busy week for big deals. So we'll just run through some of the larger ones. Genome sequencing technology developer NGI Technology has closed a $1 billion Series B round 4 years after being formed as a subsidiary of genome research organization BGI. Chinese online grocer Miss Fresh has seen business pick up sharply during the coronavirus and has accordingly raised funding at a reported $3 billion pre-money valuation. SpaceX, meanwhile, has gone from strength to strength. It has expanded its latest funding round by $346 million and surpassing its original target of a $250 million close. Electric car maker BYD is preparing a Hong Kong stock exchange listing as part of the restructuring effort. It is spinning off its semiconductor and sensor subsidiary BYD Semiconductor with $265 million in external funding. And Marqeta has made off with $150 million. An undisclosed investor provided funding and a $4.3 billion valuation. Incitro has created a machine learning equipped drug discovery platform and secured $143 million in its Series B round, featuring Wuji Aptex Corporate Venture Fund GV and Alexandra Venture Investment. Arvel has arced to a Series A close. The Axivant Caesar treatment spin-off has closed its A round with $133 million in equity funding and $74.5 million in project finances. So nice. $200 million to play around with there. Pi Insurance has tucked in to $127 million. The existing investor Sirius was among investors as the workers' compensation provider raised a big old round. With $100 million allocated to the launch of an affiliate called Pi Carrier, Bolt has flashed on the fresh funding. Naya Capital has returned to invest nearly $110 million in the Daimler and Didi backed on-demand ride provider, valuing it just shy of $1.9 billion. Abtella has built an antibody drug discovery system and secured $105 million in a Series B round featuring Eli Lilly, having signed a collaboration agreement with a pharmaceutical firm the week before. Elsewhere in China, Xiaomi has invested almost $103 million in power bank producer Zibi through a cash and stock deal and increased its stake from 22.5% to 49.9%. Mindstrong, meanwhile, has mined Optum for $100 million C round. Oxford Nanopore has expanded its latest round with Illumina and Amgen, adding towards the 59.6 million that takes its round to nearly 100 million. And quite an interesting one I always find, Commonwealth Fusion Systems, which is doing nuclear fusion, has raised $84 million in the Series A2 round, with also contributions from Equinor and ENI Next. On to exits. Right, we've seen some crackers, obviously. But we've also seen Sendo and Tiki test waters for a merger in Vietnam. Roche has reached out for portfolio company Stratos. It's looking to buy it after contributing 5 years ago to its Series B round for the DNA sequencing spin-off. And UA Freefall Aerospace has merged with one of its clients in order to focus its efforts on 5G communications. On to IPOs. Kintor Pharmaceutical has raised $240 million in its Hong Kong IPO. VeriSilicon is planning $111 million IPO. Avidity is looking to raise $100 million in its IPO. And Burning Rock has filed for another $100 million for the oncology diagnostics technology provider. And Pliant has placed its IPO terms towards $96 million. Existing investor Novartis has committed $10 million in its private placement alongside the IPO. So, quite a lot of exciting news over the past week. So, thank you to all. Looking forward to the week ahead. And
Global Venturing Review was produced by In Ear Production. You can find out more by going to inearproduction.com.